Hello, beautiful people. This is the Michael Slate Show, and I am your guest host, Sansara Taylor. On today's show, we'll be sharing segments from the RNL Revolution Nothing Less show, which airs on YouTube. Let's begin.
Welcome to the RNL, the Revolution Nothing Less show. My name is Sansara Taylor, and I'm very pleased to have back in the studio with me, Annie Day. Annie, welcome.
Thank you, and welcome to everyone tuning in. This show is about understanding the world as it actually is and bringing into being a whole different and far better world through an actual revolution. And we base ourselves on the new communism that's been developed by the revolutionary leader, Bob Avakian. And you're going to be hearing more today from Bob Avakian throughout the episode.
That's right. So we began, you heard that song being sung as people marched through the streets. Trump is a fascist. He must be removed. And this is an urgent need and demand for the people of the world. So we want to start today's episode by announcing plans from refusefascism.org. We'll hear more from Refuse Fascism later in the episode. But right up front, we want to let you know that July 26th and 28th are National Days of Action to raise the demand, shut down ICE, no military occupation, shut down the whole Trump fascist regime. Trump must go now.
In Los Angeles, there's going to be a march that gathers at 10 a.m. on Saturday at La Placita Olvera, and then marches through the heart of immigrant Los Angeles through neighborhoods where masses of people have been terrorized and marching to Boyle Heights.
And across the country on Monday, July 28th, there are going to be noise demonstrations. And the idea is that everybody should take up organizing these where you are, where you work, where you live, and in organized forms where there are networks of people. I want to read from the Refuse Fascism call for this day where it says, "There can be no business as usual when that business is cementing fascist rule. We must act now in ways that grow into mass noncompliance and nonviolent resistance. Millions refusing to go along with the fascist program, making it impossible for the regime to carry out its horrors, impossible for Trump to govern this country, and impossible for him to even hold on to power. Starting now, build up networks and develop forms of nonviolent resistance. Model the kind of struggle that is needed, actively and concretely preparing for the time that must come soon when millions are acting together to grind the machinery of the Trump regime to a halt, refusing to stop until the regime is removed from power." And it goes on to say, "Mass refusal and noncompliance means people from all walks of life disrupting business as usual. Imagine truly massive numbers of people walking out of work and school, refusing to follow fascist orders, nonviolently overwhelming ICE's ability to violate people's rights and their lives, defying censorship and flooding the streets with our righteous fury and our love for humanity." And so concretely on Monday, the 28th, people at lunchtime will gather outside workplaces or at ICE detention centers and bring whistles and pots and pans and noisemakers and make noise. Make a joyful but furious noise, disrupting business as usual and popularizing the need for people to refuse to comply with fascist orders and building and towards the demand Trump must go now, and handing out whistles as a symbol of resistance, but also a concrete tool to alert your neighbors and others that there's when there's a fascist attack to come running and stand up to it. And then in the evening at 6 o'clock at metro stations and neighborhoods and busy places, or if you're on your commute, by laying into the horn wherever you are, make noise once again. And the idea is for this to become a mass form. It's a form that's been taken up around the world in resistance movements, and for this to become a mass form in this country, Monday, the 28th at 6 p.m., and then again on Friday, and it will continue to build week after week after that.
It is such an urgent time to be disturbing the air. So we want to go to the main segment of our show today, which is to talk about The vicious and ugly and open white supremacy, which is such a battering ram for this Trump MAGA fascism. And also talk about something that's been a feature of Babavakian social media, the need for Black people in particular to be among the front lines of the people fighting to defeat Trump MAGA fascism.
Yeah, so every decent person remembers 2020. And the beautiful rising against the terror and murder by police of George Floyd and Breonna Taylor and so many others. This was an unprecedented outpouring of rage, of fury, of millions and millions of people who saw just one too many Black person terrorized and their life snuffed out by these pigs who are out of control. And because of the outpouring, because of millions who stood up, who faced down rubber bullets, who faced down tear gas, who faced down Trump calling out the military, so much repression and sustaining that struggle, we had the rare instance where the Derek Chauvin, the pig who killed George Floyd, the slow motion 9-minute lynching of George Floyd, and one of the pigs, just one of the pigs involved in the murder of Breonna Taylor, were actually convicted of crimes. The pig who was involved in the murder of Breonna Taylor, he hadn't been sentenced yet. And so he was coming up for sentencing this week. And Donald Trump's Department of Injustice came out and did a very rare thing, which was to recommend the sentencing of this pig for a day, a single day, for being involved in taking Breonna Taylor's life. And this was a slap in the face, not just to Breonna Taylor and her family, but to all Black people and to everybody who cares about justice and the end to white supremacy and institutionalized racism.
Yeah, I mean, it's not just adding insult to injury. It is a declaration on the part of this Trump fascist regime that it is open season on Black people, that any pig at any time can murder anybody and basically get away with it with a smirk and a wink and a nudge. I mean, the level of open white supremacy that's concentrated in just this example is staggering. And look, you know, in this case, the judge actually did not go along with what the request was from Trump's Department of Injustice and sentenced this pig to 3 years. The recommended sentence was actually 11 to 14 years. So this wasn't just a profound injustice at the same time as it was seen as a rebuke to Trump. And look, you know, the pigs in this country have been and consistently get away with murder after murder after murder. They kill over 1,000 people every year, disproportionately Black and brown. But these instances of these cops facing any justice for these crimes is just too much for this regime. And this happened amidst a campaign that's being waged by actually a lot of these fascists to get Derek Chauvin off as well, to have him be pardoned by Trump. And we want to show a video from this fascist lunatic leader, Jack Posobiec, where he was speaking about this last December.
America will not be made whole until we receive justice for Derek Chauvin. Derek Chauvin did not commit murder. Derek Chauvin should not be where he is right now. The truth must come out about what happened with George Floyd. It was a lie, and it was always a lie. And when Derek Chauvin is a free man, I will personally lead the lawsuit against Black Lives Matter and the millions of dollars that they took from his name. Every single lie will be undone. Every single truth will be restored, because then and only then can we have America back. And I'm talking about the real America, folks. I'm talking about America where on Easter Sunday and Good Friday in New York City, you could see the three crosses of Calvary there on the New York City skyline.
That video is chilling. And you just think about what is Posobiec hearkening back to when he says the real America. He's talking about the years of lynch mob terror, where a black person could be lynched for looking sideways at a white woman, for just walking down the street with his head held too high. He's talking about decades and centuries of Jim Crow segregation and fear that is just, you know, that as Bob Avakian has pointed out, that there was a death sentence hanging over the head of all black people that could be carried out at any time, and the mobs of white people would get away with it. That's what he's hearkening back to when he says the real America. And this is actually the topic of a social media message that Bob Avakian released recently about this very campaign from Posobiec. And we want to play just a clip of it.
As I pointed out in my message number 113, the Trump MAGA fascists would have been on the side of the Confederacy in the Civil War, fighting to maintain and expand slavery. And after the defeat of the Confederacy in the Civil War, these Trump MAGA fascists would have been with the Ku Klux Klan in its repeated lynchings and other terror to reinforce open segregation and brutal discrimination. Just as these fascists say George Floyd deserved to have the life suffocated out of him by the heartless pig Derek Chauvin, and that thousands of other black people murdered by police deserve it too, they would have said that the black people who were lynched for 100 years after the Civil War deserve to be lynched. These MAGA fascists demanding justice for the cold-blooded racist murderer Derek Chauvin today are the direct political descendants of not only the lynch mobs, but also the crowds of white racists who regularly gathered in a carnival-like atmosphere to celebrate these lynchings, to tear off as souvenirs body parts of the lynched black man, and to make postcards of these lynchings, which were sent around the country.
So just think about what you just heard from BA, and think about the history of this country and the way the soil of this country is just saturated with the blood of black people, whether through the lash and the whippings of slavery days, the lynchings of Jim Crow, or the current murder after murder after murder by police, which is unending, and which these fascists are celebrating and wanting to bring back even more aggressively. I mean, it's never gone away, but put it even more aggressively. And when you see that crowd cheering for Jack Posobiec, saying this about justice for Derek Chauvin, how can you see anything different than those mobs of white racists gathering around and celebrating the lynchings and clawing for body parts and making postcards like Bob Avakian was speaking of? This is the Confederacy come back to life on steroids. And this white supremacy is a core part of the Trump fascist program. It is a core reason why this regime has to go, and it has to go now. It's not the only reason. There's a whole program, the patriarchy, the hatred of immigrants, the anti-science, the America First, there's the dismantling of the rule of law, and so much more. But this white supremacy is right at the core. And so it's very important. Millions have stood up to fight against this regime, to resist it. But this struggle has to go to a much higher level, and it has to be oriented towards unseating this regime, nonviolently, but through massive struggle. And here we have to talk straight about things. While there have been important participation from black people in this struggle, it is not nearly on the level that it needs to be, especially given how central this white supremacy is and looking at the history and the best tradition of the black struggle. And this is something that Bob Avakian speaks to directly and is providing leadership and waging struggle to bring forward because it is so urgently necessary. We want to play the titles of two of his recent social media messages that touch on this theme.
Black people should be among the front ranks in the fight to defeat Trump MAGA fascism. Stephen A. Smith, an obnoxious poser, bloviating misinformation and sucking up to fascists.
And there are all kinds of bullshit reasons that people are giving to justify black people standing aside.
Black people.
They in the house.
Stand down.
Don't you take your tail and go march nowhere.
This is not our fight.
That has nothing to do with us at all.
We already know what's coming.
We're okay with segregation. We know segregation was bad, but eventually it got better.
Sit your black ass down.
This ain't got nothing to do with us. We did not put that man in office, so this is day five. Y'all remember when you was younger and your bike got stolen and your mother told you don't come in this house till you go get your bike back? This is their turn to go get the bike back.
Now, in Revolution number 116, Bob Avakian takes apart these arguments. And we're going to play just one clip of that here.
If white people were responsible for slavery, did that mean that black people should not have fought in the Civil War in the way they did, becoming a major force in defeating the slaveholding Confederacy and putting an end to slavery? Or again, if white people were responsible for the open Jim Crow segregation and racist terror that black people were subjected to after slavery was ended, did that mean that black people should not have risen up in the civil rights and black liberation movements in the 1950s and since? Or that the gains that have been made through this struggle against open segregation and legal discrimination are of no importance for black people? Who would make such arguments? As for those making similar arguments now, insisting that black people should stay out of the fight against Trump MAGA fascism, would they even have a platform for reaching people with these arguments if it weren't for the gains that were made through the heroic, self-sacrificing struggle of black people against open segregation and discrimination? This has been a righteous struggle that has changed the way a lot of people see things, including a lot of white youth especially, motivating them to join in the struggle against this racist oppression. This has been powerfully demonstrated through the 1960s and since, and again recently in 2020, in the massive righteous uprising in response to the cold-blooded murder of George Floyd by a heartless pig. Trump and his whole fascist regime is aggressively moving to reverse these gains and slam black people and others back into a more openly, brutally oppressed condition. How in the world can that be a reason for black people to stand aside from the fight against this Trump fascist regime?
So that's just one excerpt from Revolution number 116. Go listen to the whole thing on YouTube, download it from Substack. Now, when that social media message went up on Instagram, it was met with howls of opposition from all kinds of people, including mainly black people, who refused to answer the questions that Bob Avakian posed. So I want to encourage you to go spread that social media message, but don't let people get away with sidestepping the actual question and challenge that Bob Avakian is putting to people who are arguing for people to stand aside from this.
Well, I will say there are people who did listen to it and did engage the argument who found it so strengthening, including black people whose families are on their cases. This is not our fight. You shouldn't be in this fight. For whom it was so irrefutable. And it actually enabled them and strengthened them to be part of this fight. But we need that on a much bigger scale.
Yeah, exactly. So now we want to play a clip from Bob Avakian taking on black influential voices who are prettifying this fascism. Let's watch.
Charlemagne the God has recently expressed agreement with Trump's declaration that he intends to deport citizens who are bad people. Charlemagne insisted that if you have committed horrible crimes, even if you are a citizen, he doesn't care where they send you.
Sounds crazy.
He did say homegrowns are next, didn't he?
If you do a crime that's so heinous, I could care less where they send you. I don't care where they send you. I hope that would be a deterrent.
I agree.
Hey, they're going to send your stupid ass to El Salvador now.
I agree.
You know what I'm saying?
Does Charlemagne really not recognize that sending people to be tortured in other countries in violation of the law and the Constitution, as Trump has already done, cannot be justified? no matter what those people may have done or been accused of doing? Does he not understand that torture morally and politically corrupts and degrades the whole society that allows it? Does he really not know that many people, especially black people, are denounced as monstrous criminals while being convicted of crimes that they did not actually commit? Does Charlemagne not recognize that for Trump, bad people means anyone who opposes him, everyone he chooses to denounce as enemies, again without regard to the Constitution, law, and due process of law? Has Charlemagne not seen how Trump declared he was going to round up and deport the worst criminals?
Murderers, human traffickers, gang members,
and very dangerous people.
But his masked armed thugs have actually attacked and dragged away ordinary brown-skinned people, some of them documented, some of them actual citizens, who are just going about their daily lives, not committing crimes? Does Charlemagne not get that violations of the law and the Constitution threaten the rights of everyone who might oppose or be accused of opposing the regime in power? Trump MAGA fascism is defined by its overall tyrannical rule, its overt racism, its hatred of women and LGBT people, its lawless persecution of immigrants, including documented immigrants, its aggressive insistence on American supremacy, its deranged and cruel lunacy, and the grave danger this poses not only for people in this country, but for humanity as a whole. There can be no tolerance for any promotion of this fascism by anyone.
All right, so there you have just straight talk on Charlemagne the God, but also on others. He goes into the bloviating and harmfulness of Stephen A. Smith and his rants. You got to listen to the whole social media message. Now, one thing that has come up in taking these out, and BA actually addresses it in this social media message itself, is it really Bob Avakian's place as a white man to be struggling with black people in this way? And I will say we are very lucky, and black people are very lucky, to have this leader who is willing to tell them the truth, even when some of them don't want to hear it, including struggling with black people over the role that they can and need to play in this struggle, not just for their own liberation and emancipation, but for something that's in the interest of all of humanity. And this is not only something to learn from and to popularize, it's something to learn from. And here I want to say as well that this notion that people should stay in their lane and somebody who's not black shouldn't be struggling with black people is so widespread, or somebody who's not Latino shouldn't struggle with Latino people, or down the line, is so widespread in the culture right now. And it is so harmful and crippling. And it has come up among people who are attracted to the RevCom Corps, who brought this up. Like, they see and they appreciate what BA is doing in these messages, but they don't feel it's their place to go out and fight for this. And so what we want to do is, in addition to saying that's not right, it's not taking our responsibility seriously, we want to play an excerpt of the interview that I did with Bob Avakian earlier this year. It's a wide-ranging interview. It's an extraordinary, timely interview on the historic juncture we're in, and a lofty interview on what is really possible for humanity with the new communism and the revolution he has forged. But we want to go to the part where I asked him why he has put such special attention, as part of the whole of what he's doing in his social media messages, in addressing the situation and the role of black people. And I asked him this before these recent messages, but what he says is still relevant to all of what he's continued to do. Let's listen to that. I wanted to ask you about your social media messages, 91 through 94 in particular. This has to do with a section of people who've really shaped you and that you are speaking to directly. You did a series called A Profound Fight for the Soul of Black People, A Defeated People or a Revolutionary People. And I wonder if you could speak about why you did that and why this is so important in this time in particular.
Well, there are a lot of different aspects or dimensions to that. One thing, it goes to the point we were talking about earlier, why do you tell people the truth, even if it's a truth that people are uncomfortable with or don't want to hear at the time? So, because people need to know the truth. You know, but then there is the point that you were just speaking to, that, you know, Black people have a tremendous role to play, not all by themselves, but they have a very important role in you know, bringing forward a broader, or, you know, being a key force in bringing forward a broader force of people moving to bring about the revolution that could actually emancipate people and ultimately contribute in a significant way to emancipating the masses of people around the world and all of humanity. So, you know, understanding that, you know, there's a personal dimension to it, I'll say that, but there's a dimension beyond that. But in the personal dimension, I find it heartbreaking to see Black people caught up way too much in a lot of really bad stuff that's hurting them, that's against their own interests, that's doing harm to them and as well to other people as well, including one of the things I pointed out. You know, certainly not all, but too many Black people getting caught up in this anti-immigrant stuff and in petty rivalry with immigrants when they're all being messed over and they should all be uniting to go up against the system. And on the positive side, I've seen, and I was, you know, I was inspired and brought forward in a big way by, you know, Black people being a force for revolution, liberation, emancipation through the 1960s and into the 70s. You mentioned I worked very closely with the Black Panther Party. And there, you know, I had a lot of important, not only did I work closely with them practically, I had a lot of important discussion and struggle with them back and forth. And as I've said, sometimes they were right and sometimes I was right. But I, you know, but we, you know, on both sides and all around, we would freely and openly voice what we understood, what we thought was right and what we thought would really lead to liberation and what would it was wrong and would lead against it. And that's the way, you know, I've approached things, you know, for decades now. And, you know, there is, to go back to that point, I see the tremendous potential of Black people, which is being suffocated and suppressed, you know, brutally, you know, murderously by the police in particular, and by mass incarceration, and by being confined in these terrible conditions where youth grow up with, you know, really no future. You know, I've seen that, and I've also, you know, never lost a sense that deep down among the masses of Black people, there is a, you know, a profound yearning to break out of all of this and to get beyond all of this, that striving for liberation is still there. As much as it's being suppressed and as much as forces are working to derail it and pervert it even. So, you know, understanding all that, you know, is why I said there's a profound struggle to be waged for the soul of Black people. And I believe that struggle can be won, but it's a struggle that needs to be waged. And it doesn't need to be sidetracked by any, you know, misguided liberalism, which is really, in effect, arrogance that thinks, oh, you know, those poor Black people, you can't really struggle with them. They can't really take it if you call them out for some bullshit. Bullshit. This is a masses of people who has the potential, as I've said, to be a driving force for the most emancipating revolution that has ever existed in the history of the world. And they need to be struggled with to come forward and play that role. And that was the point of those social media messages.
People can watch that interview in full at youtube.com/BobAvakianOfficial on this channel. These are such special interviews that really people need to be steeping in and spreading. You know, since you said earlier, you know, Black people, humanity are lucky to have this kind of leader that enables you to understand what kind of nightmare situation we're in. The fact that a whole different world is actually possible and struggles with us to play the role that we need to be playing right now, urgently, to get to that world. And we want to play another excerpt from this interview where Bob Avakian talks about the need to struggle with people about the truth as it actually is, no matter how unpopular. And I really want people to think deeply about what Bob Avakian is saying and the challenge he is posing to you right now to confront the world as it actually is and to fight with people about the world as it actually is, to spread this leadership and to take up the same method that he's applying. Let's watch.
I want to ask something that has a personal dimension to it, but also touches on something that's right at the heart of the new communism. You have, and you've said this, you've never hesitated to tell people the truth, and you said, and I believe you, you never will hesitate to tell people the truth about really important life and death matters, even when people don't want to hear it. Then in...
They often don't.
Go ahead. You want to talk about it?
No, go ahead. I just,
well, it's true. They often don't. And then at the same time, you've made the point, I know in your social media message 111, you said, look, one of the most fundamental things about the new communism is to really be scientific and tell people the truth about what are our aims as communists in fighting to change the world. In that situation, you were talking about how serious we are about uniting everybody who can be united to defeat this fascism, but it's a broader principle. So this is both at the core of who you are and it's at the core of the new communism. And I think it'd be important to talk a little bit more about why that's so essential and how you acquired that quality and why it's so central to the revolution you're fighting for.
Well, you know, I mean, there's a lot that goes into it and we don't have time to get into all of it. I mean, you know, as part of my upbringing, you should try to understand what actually is, you know, even with some limitations and how that was approached when I was coming up, you know, including because my parents were religious. And so that, you know, was a dimension in which, you know, you were sort of encouraged to believe in things that didn't exist, you know, but there was a general culture. It wasn't a dogmatic religion. It wasn't a fundamentalist religion, you know, and it was a broad-minded and a generous spirit about that religion, you know, and that had an influence on me. But, you know, my upbringing, we were just basically, it was part of the, my father was a lawyer, you know, and within the realm of the courtroom, you know, you're supposed to, even though there's a lot of, you know, deviation from that, if you will, you're supposed to go for the facts, for the truth, you know, so that's a kind of the way that I and, you know, my siblings were brought up, you know, was you try to understand what's actually true. And then, you know, we were brought up with certain values, you know, about, you know, treating people well and, you know, the idea of equality, if you will, you know, and, you know, discrimination is wrong, racism is wrong, and so on like that. And so, you know, when you're growing up that way, then, you know, you approach things and you approach people like just straightforwardly. You know, and I've talked about this before. I won't go into great detail, but, you know, from a very early age, and especially in high school, you know, entering into sports and, you know, music and so on in school, I made a lot of Black friends, very, you know, people who were really, you know, very, very, you know, important to me and very close to me, you know, and we had a lot of back and forth. And, you know, the idea that you wouldn't, you know, that you would not tell people the truth or you wouldn't say something to them, you know, about something because, you know, it might offend them. It just, you know, it seemed ridiculous, you know. So, you know, that's kind of in the upbringing. And then once I, became more politically involved, and got, you know, went in direction of revolution and communism, understood in basic terms that it's a scientific approach to things and that it's necessary to be scientific, then what flows from that is you don't go beating people over the head with the truth, but you do have to tell them, you know, frankly, the truth. And if you see them doing something that's wrong and harmful, whoever they might be, you know, you have to say so. I mean, that's what, you know, that's what friends do or should do. That's what we did in the circle that I was in, you know, coming up. And that's what, in the broader sense, I mean, I guess this sounds corny, but, you know, I consider myself a friend to the masses of people. I consider that, you know, that I'm part of the, if you want to put it that way, part of the family that they are part of. You know, in the broadest sense, you tell people the truth. You don't insult them, you know, gratuitously, needlessly, you know. You don't beat them over the head with things. You don't, you know, force things on them, you know. You try to convince people and you listen to people, you know, because you're not always right either, you know, and people can convince you that you're, you know, that you're not seeing things the way they actually are or you're not doing things as you should be doing them. But that's the process that should go on both, you know, in terms of your personal relationship with people, but, you know, much more importantly, because it has much greater effect in terms of how you proceed in the larger society, in the larger world. So to me, the idea that you wouldn't tell people the truth because, you know, it might be inconvenient to tell them the truth, or, you know, that you know, you might be accused of being arrogant, or you might be accused of this or that if you speak the truth, you know, unsparingly, you know, not arrogantly, but unsparingly, you know, well, that, you know, that just doesn't make any sense to me. It just strikes me as profoundly wrong. So I haven't hesitated, and I won't hesitate to tell people, you know, the truth about important things that they need to know, you know, because they do need to know them, you know, and then you listen to people and you go back and forth, you know, and you work through things. But the idea that you'd hold back because, oh, you know, you're from this identity or that. Look, there's a lot of arrogance that people get by being in a superior position over other people. And that's something that, you know, that we're moving to completely move beyond and do away with. But that's different than honestly telling people the truth about things. And then, as the saying goes, letting the chips fall where they may, you know, and working through the contradictions that are, you know, that are part of the process. If you don't tell people the truth as you understand it, while you're willing to learn that you might be wrong, if you don't tell people the truth, you're cheating people. Mm. You're depriving them of an understanding they really need to have, especially if it's about anything important.
Again, watch that whole interview. It's on youtube.com/BobAvakian Official on this channel. It really needs to be dug into and spread. And, you know, in this episode, we've been drawing a lot from Bob Avakian's social media because he's giving guidance, living real-time guidance for how to think about, how to understand the morass, the complexity, the nightmare of the situation we're in, to be able to see beneath the surface, to be able to see how to navigate through, to defeat this fascism, and to go on to overthrowing the system that's giving rise to this fascism. So follow at Bob Avakian Official. Join the campaign to get this social media spreading throughout society. You can sign up at BobAvakianOfficialEverywhere.org. This is really what people need to be hearing right now.
And did you want to say something about the seminars that have begun?
Yes. So I'm also, in addition to being one of the co-hosts of the show, I am the director of something called the Bob Avakian Institute, which is an educational institute aimed at spreading the breakthroughs in Bob Avakian's work in the new communism. And we began, as you guys announced last week, a four-part course or a seminar in the new communism. And the first session was very exciting and really interesting, digging into, basically why you have to proceed from and understand what's true based on evidence, based on science, and not just, you know, your what everybody else thinks or your subjective inclination, what feels good. Actually, one of the themes of today's show. If you want to join the next three sessions, it's not too late. You can go to the website, thebobavakianinstitute.org, register for the Zooms, and, you know, I don't know, we'll talk on the phone or we'll email, we'll fill you in a little bit on what you missed, but you'll be able to join for the next three sessions. And I really think, especially now, people have to be able to raise their sights to the breakthroughs in Bob Avakian's work in the new communism in terms of what is actually possible for humanity in a whole different world.
Annie actually could not stop talking about the first seminar and made me very jealous that I hadn't been there. So definitely, if you, you know, you don't want to miss out, sign up, be part of it, and invite others. What we want to do for the final portion of this show is we want to return to the call for 2 days of action that Refuse Fascism has put out. July 26th, a march and protest at 10 a.m. in Los Angeles, marching through East L.A., one of the hearts of immigrant Los Angeles that has just been terrorized, where people have been driven into hiding, self-deportation, where they've been ripped away and disappeared by the regime, marching through and bringing the message, shut down ICE, the whole Trump fascist regime must go now, and bringing strength and courage to that area, but also bringing people from outside that area to stand with people there. And then around the country on July 28th, noise demonstrations, disruptions of business as usual, and forging of networks in people's workplaces, in places where people live and go about their business. Lunchtime rallies outside ICE offices and institutions affected by the Trump regime and workplaces. And 6 p.m. everywhere, noise making on the freeway, blasting the horns on in neighborhoods in D.C. One of the things that they're doing is noise making in transit hubs in neighborhoods at train stations and distributing whistles into the neighborhoods as people leave the trains going into their communities to form community networks and reach people that way. There are a lot of ideas, creative ideas. Get involved. Go to refusefascism.org. Sign up. Share what you're doing. Learn from others.
I just want to say that the strategic nature of building defiant organization of mass noncompliance in the institutions of society is strategic if we're thinking about how to rapidly grow what's required to actually defeat this fascism. So that's what you're talking about on Monday, is beginning that mass noncompliance to fascism now.
That's right. Thank you. So we have footage. It's very exciting to watch. When Stephen Colbert was outrageously canceled by CBS, in a way that is really stinks of fascist capitulation, a capitulation to fascism, refusefascism.org immediately called an emergency protest in New York City outside the studio where that is filmed. Not enough people, but a good crowd of people turned out, including comedians and performers and others. And we want to show some of the footage, a few of the voices who spoke out and some of the crowd. And it gives you a good vital sense of the message and the mission of Refuse Fascism and how it resonates and needs to be built upon.
Over the weekend, it sunk in that they're killing off our show. But they made one mistake. They left me alive. And now for the next 10 months, the gloves are off. Yeah.
A crowd is protesting the canceling of The Late Show with Stephen Colbert here tonight, just days after it was announced the top-rated late-night comedy show was ending. The demonstration outside the Ed Sullivan Theater was led by a group called Refuse Fascism. President Trump has been a frequent target of Colbert's nightly monologue, and the show's cancellation came on the heels of Paramount's $16 million settlement with the president. Protesters today questioned the timing.
We are trying to wake up the people. Too many people are accepting this and saying, you know, Colbert, we'll miss you. Actually, we can't accept this. This is illegitimate.
Trump must go.
So when they come for the storytellers, the joke crackers, the drag queens, they're just not trimming the edges of culture. They're gutting democracy. They're censoring empathy. And they are laying the groundwork for something much, much darker. And listen, I don't want to live through a sequel to history's worst moments. We've already seen what happens when we stay quiet, and I refuse to stay quiet. Listen, we are not here because we want attention. We are here because we are paying attention. So no, we will not be silent. We will not be edited. We will not cut for time. Let them cancel shows. Let them ban books. Let them try to erase our art, our joy, our fire, because guess what? We are still here. And we are louder than ever, because this is more than a protest. This is a warning, and this is also a promise, because we will not go quietly, we will not go alone, and we will not go without a fight.
3 months ago, I was over in Germany. I visited the Dachau concentration camp for the second time in my life. If you ever have a chance to go to Dachau, for those of you who don't know what it is, Dachau was the first prison camp that was established weeks into Hitler being named Chancellor of the Reich. And within months, there were thousands and thousands of dissidents, people who were politically agitating against the Reich, who were rounded up and locked up. And over the years that camp was in place, 200,000 people were in prison there. Tens of thousands were murdered there. Now, I'm not saying that Trump is Hitler, and I'm not saying the MAGA movement are Nazis, but my God, does history rhyme quite a bit in this situation. Right? It's not Dachau. Trump's first foray was in the camp in El Salvador. And now he has built Alligator Auschwitz. And if we do not stand up and speak out and muster the courage to be in these streets, not just on one day, but every day, potentially for months at a time, we will not dislodge this regime. And this is why we're here with the Refuse Fascism movement. We're thankful to see so many new faces who are standing up and speaking out on this day. But please know, this will not be activism as usual. I am telling you as someone with 25 years of experience in electoral politics and grassroots activism, we are dealing with a different animal. This is a fascist regime. It's an authoritarian regime. It is consolidating authoritarian power. It is getting more power from the courts. We have a Congress that one party is in bed with them, the other party is impotent. We have a citizenry that I'm not sure has awakened to the fact of what we're dealing with. And I'm not saying this to scare you. I am saying it to give you the straight up truth of what we are facing. What I want to encourage each of you to do when you leave here today is to start finding the heroes that inspire you from history. Mine, Martin Luther King, Gandhi, Nelson Mandela, Jesus, I'm a theologian, Dorothy Day, Cesar Chavez, Dolores Huerta, right? Dolores Huerta. All of these people were willing to put it on the line. They were willing to get arrested. They were willing to make massive personal sacrifice. Some were willing to give their lives for the cause. Our very representative democracy, enshrined in the Constitution of the United States of America, is on the line. Today it's Stephen Colbert. If Trump has his druthers, tomorrow it'll be Jimmy Kimmel. The next day it'll be another entertainer. The next day it'll be another politician. And then we'll all be looking around, because it'll be everyday citizens who are either silenced or jailed. So again, I want to encourage you to muster every ounce of courage that you have in your hearts and your souls, and stand up and speak out and fight back, because we refuse to accept a fascist America. The Trump fascist regime must go now. In the name of humanity, we refuse to accept a fascist America. Yes. Right now, with no exaggeration and no hyperbole, we are quite literally in the midst. We are in the midst of the coherence of a textbook definition fascist regime. The vilification, subjugation, dehumanization of tens of millions of our immigrant sisters and brothers, who every single day exhibit more courage and sacrifice than any one of these MAGA white supremacist Confederate lunatics could ever even imagine and dream of. Our sisters and brothers from many parts of the world, many from parts of the world whose economies and land was destroyed by this country, have sacrificed everything to come here and are now finding themselves in concentration camps. And yes, when we say concentration camps, we are fully aware of the entire historical significance. Dachau, Auschwitz, and the like. You may be familiar with Pastor Martin Niemöller, a Lutheran, who went along with the fascist regime under Adolf Hitler for many years. Afterwards, he miraculously survived, and he shared these words. First they came for the communists, and I did not speak up because I wasn't a communist. Then they came for the trade unionists, and I did not speak up because I wasn't a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews and the Catholics and so on and so forth. And then when they came for me, there was no one left to speak up.
The first lesson of that is there is a trajectory. There is a logic to what's going on. Genocide might not start on day one, but that's where it is going. When you look at what they are doing with the burning of our planet and the evisceration of any restrictions on the burning of fossil fuels, when you look at what they are doing to tens of millions of our immigrant sisters and brothers, when you see what they are doing 3 years into the evisceration of the right of a woman to an abortion in this country, and then you couple that with the degradation and complete dehumanization of trans people, of the LGBT community, and their virulent, vicious, lunatic, idiotic white supremacy and hubris, the parallels to Nazi Germany are insufficient. That's the bad news, my friends. The bad news is when refused fascism says, in the name of humanity, we are not talking just about us. We are not talking about just Americans. We are talking about an existential issue for all of humanity.
Yep. That's right.
Yep. The future of humanity hangs in the balance. People around the world, thankfully, are starting to hate this country and the people of it even more than maybe they did before. The good news is that there are tens of millions of people. This is not hype. There literally are tens of millions, probably more of them who hate this than who like this that's going on. Right? You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Get off the couch.
Yes.
Stop the doom scroll. No Democrat will save you in 2026. No Democrat will save you in 2028. If any Democratic Party people want to join us in the streets, they are welcome. We are not excluding that. We need to join forces together in a movement that is so unprecedented and so fearless. And that brings me back to something else that Pastor Martin Niemöller said. Actually, it was his wife. Was recounting that another thing that he said, besides the famous quote, first they came for, he said, you know, it's possible that we could have maybe stopped this, what happened in Nazi Germany, meaning when Hitler became chancellor, 1933, but 6-7 years before the final solution and the annihilation of Jews in Germany and Poland and so on and so forth. We could have possibly solved this, but maybe 30,000 of us would have had to give our lives. I want to be very clear, I am not advocating for anything. We urgently need a non-violent, massive resistance movement for the avoidance of doubt. That being said, the time is now for the time is now. Now. The time is now for those tens of millions of people to get some skin in the game. When ICE comes, no more 50 people outside protesting. 5,000. In New York. In Oxnard. In Boyle Heights. All across this country. I want to give some love to all of you out here today. Give some love to the organization Refuse Fascism, which is a coalition effort. In other words, anybody can be part of it, who since 2017 has been calling this for what it is, a fascist regime. We need to join forces and put our bodies and hearts on the line like we've never done before. And before I go, I want to say this. For all the people over 65 in this crowd and across this country, make some noise. There is no retirement in the ranks of the movement to drive out fascism. So all of the older folks who've been in the streets for the last 3 months, make some noise for everyone. That being said, we must reach into the hearts of the young people, the under 25, of which I am not part of. But we need them to be on the front lines right now. And there's starting to be stirrings of that. There's starting to be stirrings, but we need them to put some skin in the game and to learn what they don't know and to follow their conscience and to drive the Trump regime out in 2025.
All right, so there is so much happening so rapidly. There's a lot of really important monumental events and developments that we have not been able to speak to in today's episode. Columbia University just made a really capitulationist, I'll use that word again, agreement with Trump. They've suspended 80 students.
There's a major continuing unfolding controversy about Donald Trump's alleged or real association with Jeffrey Epstein. And, you know, this is one of these things where way too many people on the one hand are thinking, oh, this is going to save us. Oh, you know, there's no way Trump's getting out of this. Not true. Trump has withstood many controversies. At the same time, there are real contradictions and cracks within the regime. And if people want to understand, again, this rapidly unfolding situation, there's a very important article at revcom.us that walks through what is the deal here and how to understand it.
Yeah, and there's more. This Week in Fascism that really does try to expose and keep pace with a lot of what's developing, and Voices of Resistance, which is extremely important, at revcom.us. If you're not going there regularly, go to revcom.us, especially every Monday, but all week long. And then finally...
Yeah, we were not able to cover this week just the hellscape that's unfolding in Gaza. It is near the end stages of mass famine, mass starvation. Today, 100 organizations, the UN, all kinds of social service organizations are speaking out on the scale of the mass starvation. People are dropping dead in the streets.
People are literally fainting in the streets of Gaza from hunger. They're dropping to the ground, and the wounded have no treatment available. It's the same for all citizens here in the Gaza Strip. People falling one after another just because they couldn't find a single meal or a loaf of bread or even a sip of water. It's a slow death for the people. They're dying every hour of the day.
Over 100 people that just unrecorded have already died of starvation, completely and totally preventable. There are hundreds of aid trucks lined up outside of the gates of Rafah that Israel will not allow in with Trump's full backing. And I really want to encourage people to continue to act in mass protest, to speak out, use whatever platform you have, and to ask the bigger questions about what kind of system gives rise to such a human-caused nightmare. And I just, you know, I will add, amidst the mass starvation, the bombs have not stopped dropping. Israel continues to target journalists. Again, with the full U.S. aid, there is a system that is driving this nightmare. This is not human nature. It's not the Israeli lobby. This is the workings of a system whose time has long past and who we urgently need to work to overthrow. And if you're not part of that, then what are you doing? Because we have a responsibility to stop this and to dig into the deeper causes of this.
So let that be a challenge to you. Seriously, let that be a challenge to you. Let this whole episode not only be a challenge to you about the horrors that we are confronting, but an invitation, whether you're already involved or not, to step up your involvement. And if you're not involved, to get involved. Go to the interviews that we shared a portion of today from Bob Avakian, where he does get to the depth of the system behind this, but also takes you beyond how we could live a whole different way that really is possible. Dig into this, join the fight for this with the RevCom Corps for the Emancipation of Humanity. And even if you're not ready for all that, or you are clear you don't agree with all that, but you share a concern for humanity and an opposition to the fascism that is accelerating towards consolidation, join with RefuseFascism.org. People from many different perspectives standing up together to refuse to accept a fascist America. Time is running out, but there is still a chance. It matters that you tuned in today. It matters that you take this into your life and you spread it to your friends, to your family, that you join with others to take action.